Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So have you ever wondered what kind of people the world really needs? I don't think the world needs any more angry or arrogant people. I think we kind of have our fill of that. I don't think the world needs any more selfish or scared people. There are plenty of those. What kind of people does the world really need? Then have you ever thought about what kind of people does God want? What kind of people is God looking for? Best I know how to describe it and define it would be something like this, that God is looking for people who really believe that Jesus is King, and they dare to live like it. I believe that's the kind of people that God wants. I also think that's the kind of people that the world needs, those who really believe Jesus is King, and they dare to live like it. So in the annals of slavery, there's a slave out of Maryland by the name of Jacob. In the height of American slavery, he worked for his master, who was a cruel man named Saunders, and three times a day he would stop and pray. He would just take a moment to be quiet and rest and pray before God. And Saunders, his white master, didn't like Jacob doing that at all. And so one day Saunders had had enough, and while Jacob sat there and prayed, Saunders pulled out his gun and put it to Jacob's head and said, "You get back to work or I will kill you right now," to which Jacob replied, "Your loss will be my gain. You see, Master Saunders, I have two masters. I have a body, I have a soul. My body belongs to you, but my soul belongs to Jesus." So Jacob articulated that he had two masters, but the way that he acted showed that he only had one. You know what? That's the kind of people the world really needs. That's the kind of people that God wants, those who really believe that Jesus is King and dare to live like it. Why is it that we admire so many other people for living that way, but we ourselves never get around to doing that? Let's start doing that. And Acts chapter 1 challenges us to be people who really believe that Jesus is King and we dare to act like it, instead of just being focused on our little nation. "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus says, "No, I want you to see the whole world." And instead of just focusing on my one little life, we start to live our lives in light of eternity. The same Jesus who you saw going to heaven will come back just in the way that he went. We're invited to live bigger lives than what we had ever dreamed or imagined before, the kind of lives that really believe that Jesus is King, and we dare everything to live like that is true. So for the balance of Acts chapter 1, and again, we looked at Acts 1, 1 through 11 last week, and it's the 40 days following Jesus' resurrection, between his resurrection and ascension. The balance of Acts chapter 1 is going to be the 10 days between Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we'll talk about next week. That will be messy and scary and fun. But in these 10 days, we kind of explore yet again, what kind of people does the world need, and what kind of people is God really looking for? So this is Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And by the way, I see, as we read the balance of this chapter of Acts 1, I see three movements and three different ways of looking at what kind of people is God really looking for? What kind of people does the world need? Verse 12, "The apostles returned to Jerusalem." This is after Jesus ascended from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. "When they arrived, they went upstairs in the room that they were staying." This is probably the same room where Jesus, the night before he was betrayed, took bread and wine and represented his body and blood. So they'd probably stayed in this house, in this room. So those who were present, and listen to these people's names: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer with the women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and his brothers. You know, as I read through these names, and here's kind of the first movement, as I read through these names, these were just a bunch of messed up people. This is like a roll call of losers, okay? Just think through some of the names that were gathered here. Peter. Peter's kind of like that shady car mechanic. You know, he overpromised and underperformed. Jesus, I will go wherever you lead. I'll even die with you. And not once, not twice, but three times he was a loser. He denied knowing Jesus. And it looked that he had let Jesus down to the point of no return. There's Peter. There's John. Now, John's kind of a funny story because he got so nervous when Jesus was arrested in the garden. One of the Roman soldiers grabbed his cloak. And John wiggled his way out of his clothes and ran out of the garden naked. Now, I don't think we give enough time to this story, okay? This is a pretty good story. He literally got so scared he ran out of his clothes. A couple things could have happened in result of that. He could have come back to the garden later. Maybe the Roman soldier just dropped his cloak, which is probably what happened, and he put his clothes back on. Or imagine he had to go home, and he kind of had to tap at the window and go, "Hey, Mom, guess what?" You know? All I know is if I'd been one of the other disciples, the next time I would have seen John, I would have just looked him in the eye and I go, "Hey, what's up, Buck, naked? How are you?" So, sorry, my little sense of humor there, but he ran out naked. He ran off from Jesus. He was that scared. Thomas is the one who doubted Jesus. He put God into a box that God could not go beyond what he saw was possible or probable. We often call him Doubting Thomas. He just didn't believe that Jesus could be resurrected. And then you have Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot was a zealot was the militant wing of Jewish nationalism. That they were willing to do anything, kill others, and even be killed to restore the nation of Israel under its own sovereign rule. Simon the Zealot is a patron saint for everyone who puts nation before God. And by the way, if you worship your nation more than you worship God, the word for that is idolatry. Well, Simon the Zealot wrestled with genuinely putting Jesus first over the own narrow lens of his nationalism. So what kind of people does God want? Well, here's the only kind of people there are. Flawed. We are flawed people. I recently read one theologian who said this, that Jesus is looking for people who can't seem to get their act together. Jesus is looking for people who can't seem to get their act together. And I don't know about you, but I really fit into that category. Jesus is looking for people who are flawed. And you know what? There's a certain freedom that comes from just admitting that we are flawed. Listen, you married a flawed person, and the person you married a flawed person. Your children are flawed. Your parents are flawed. Your church is flawed. The sooner we get around to acknowledging that we are flawed, there is freedom in that, to realize that we are not perfect, that we lack the capability of getting our act together. It's the very kind of people that Jesus is looking for, because we're not expected to stay flawed, okay? So here's the second movement. Here we got all these flawed people. Look what happens, and this is verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas." Now remember, Judas was one of the 12 disciples who betrayed Jesus into the hands of the authorities that ultimately led to Jesus' crucifixion. So David spoke concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number who shared in our ministry. With the payment he received, this is kind of a parenthetical note, and I do want to stop here and just address this for just a moment. With the payment he received from his wickedness, Judas bought a field. Then he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Boy, this is kind of gruesome. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so it was called the field in their field of blood in their language, Alkeldama. Okay, Alkeldama is the kind of the Hebrew translation of the field of blood. Judas went from bad to worse. Now, some people just kind of pause here, and how Judas died, they wonder if there's a discrepancy in the Bible, because it said that in the Gospels that he hung himself, but here his intestines spilled out. So essentially what more than likely happened here was Judas did hang himself, and no one missed him. No one was looking for him. And by the time he was found, there had been a rather dramatic decomposition, and literally his body had fallen apart. Bottom line, Judas did not end well. He went from bad to worse. Psychologists talk about what's called the what the hell effect. Excuse me for just saying that, but it's a psychological term, what the hell effect. It's this idea that when you make a mistake, sometimes you go from bad to worse. So let's say you're doing a real strict diet. You say, I'm not going to eat any sugar, but you take that one bite of ice cream and you feel so bad about it. You want to do something to make you feel better. And so instead of just eating that one bite and stopping, you binge on ice cream, right? And it's kind of the what the hell effect. I've already messed it up. Might as well go all in. And you just end up going from bad to worse to even worse. And that seems to what happened with Judas, that he betrayed Jesus, made a bad investment, and ended up taking his own life. He just went from bad to worse. He completely fell apart. Now, here's where I want to talk just for a moment about the difference between Judas and Peter. There is no difference. There is no difference between Judas and Peter. What Peter did and what Judas did were equally bad. Both of them operated out of selfish reasons to save their own skin or to benefit their own lives. Both of them pretty much sold out Jesus for their selfish reasons. The only difference between Judas and Peter was repentance. What kind of people is God looking for? God's looking for people who are flawed, who can't seem to get their act together. He's also looking for people who acknowledge their flawed nature and choose to repent, not give up. They choose to repent. Let's stop here for just a moment, because I do want to just do a little sidebar on our cancel culture. If you don't know what cancel culture is, it's essentially, you know, you've made a mistake in life, you said something, you've done something that culturally is inappropriate. And by the way, we live in a culture where everything is permitted, but nothing is forgiven. So cancel culture is you've stepped over this line, and we're just going to pretend you never existed. Listen, if you only listen to people who are perfect, your life is going to be pretty silent. Take Martin Luther, great Protestant reformer, gave us some ideas about God and scripture and the revelation of God and doing away with church traditions that have just been caked on top of one another and really going back to the message of the gospel. But Martin Luther was also a raging anti-Semitic man. He hated Jews. He was a racist, right? Does that mean we should throw away everything Martin Luther said? No, we take what's good from his life and we take what is bad and understand that it's a cautionary tale for us. The Southern Baptist Convention, our church is a Southern Baptist church. The Southern Baptist Convention, its roots are in slavery. Southern Baptist differed from Baptist in the North, saying that, yeah, a missionary could own slaves if you could believe that. So should we cancel the whole Southern Baptist Convention? No, because there's some good things. But there's also some times where we've all messed up. The difference is not whether or not we are flawed. The difference is, do we choose to repent? And that's what made Peter stand out from Judas. In fact, Peter is the one who's speaking right here. He speaks with new credibility because he has acknowledged he is flawed. He's acknowledged his need for repentance. I don't know about you, but I need that too. Three times Jesus just asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord. And there was restoration that happened there. You know what? God is looking for people who are flawed. He's also looking for people who know that they need repentance and restoration. It's the kind of people the world needs, the kind of people that God is looking for. It's the kind of people who Jesus is looking for, people who just can't seem to get their act together, but who through their flawed nature and their repentant posture in life acknowledge that Jesus is King and choose to live like it. So then we go on from here. Let's skip down to verse 21. Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men. Judas died, of course, committed suicide. Now they're looking to replace Judas. Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us this whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning with John's baptism to the time that Jesus was taken up. that they must be a witness to the resurrection. What is a witness? A witness is somebody who can say, I saw something. I saw something. So they saw Jesus resurrected. They're looking for somebody to replace Judas. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas. By the way, Barsabbas means son of the Sabbath. We just have this from his name that apparently he was born on the Sabbath day when he was a baby. I guess that's how most people are born, is when they're babies. Also known as Justus and Matthias. So when they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you've chosen to take over the apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. What kind of people does the world need? What kind of people does God want? Well, the only kind of people there are those who are flawed, and those who are penitent, and those who are available. You have two men that were just available to be used or not, to be elevated or to be set aside. The apostles wanted to complete this number of 12 because 12 is a signal number for the people of God, the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles saying there's a new community, a new Israel that God is wanting to create. And Matthias and Justus were both available for God to use or not. It seems to be the kind of people that God is looking for. By the way, this would be the last time that the apostles would replace one of their number. Of course, Judas died. He wasn't faithful to the end. But the next apostle to die in Acts chapter 12 is James. You know, James and John, the sons of thunder. James would die, but there was no effort to replace him. Why? Because James had been faithful unto death. He sealed his witness with his own blood. And the idea that his life did not stop, he went on into eternity where he continued to serve Jesus, and his memory continued to serve Jesus because he was faithful unto death. You know what? God is just looking for people who for their whole life choose to be available. So I want you to press yourself up against Acts chapter 1, this latter part. I hope you're willing to admit that you're flawed. If not, there's bigger issues to be dealt with today. I hope that you've dealt with God in terms of being repentant. I'm flawed. I need grace. I also hope that you press yourself up against this passage and to say, I'm available. I really want to be the kind of person who believes that Jesus is King, and I'm willing to live my whole life daring to act as though that were true. So one of my favorite stories about the Olympics comes out of 1968. Stephen Aquari, he was running the marathon, the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. Some of you have known this story and you've heard it before, but it's really good. He came all the way from Tanzania, and early in the race, he fell and was injured. And so instead of just stopping, he bandaged up his leg the best he could, and he finished the race. In fact, everyone knew in the entire world who came in first and second and third, who won the gold and the silver and the bronze. Everyone in the world knew except John Stephen Aquari, because several hours later, here he comes running into the stadium to cross the finish line. And it's a dramatic video as he crosses the finish line. He kind of walks into the stadium, but he's going to finish running. And as he crosses the line, somebody asks him, why did you finish? And he simply said this. He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. Wherever you are in your life today, anyone can start. Not everyone can finish well. What kind of people does our world really need right now? What kind of people does God look for? He looks for people who are flawed, because that's the only kind of people there are. He looks for people who are repentant, because you know what? Jesus just seems to love people who can't get their act together. He's looking for people who are available. I believe that Jesus is looking most of all for people who really believe that he's King, and they are daring to live like it. Stay with. Let's go. Let's finish our race. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that none of us are perfect. Help us to have the freedom of understanding that we are flawed. I pray that we would have the bravery to repent, to know that we need grace, and that we would have the courage to be available to you, come what may. The world doesn't need any more angry or arrogant or scared or selfish people. The world needs people who really believe Jesus, that you are King, and who dare to act like it. Help us to be that kind of people. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.